Brother Charles, this is Brother Michael here. My friend, I have been sick with sinusitis the last couple of days. So you're going to have to bear with me. And I've just gotten up from an afternoon nap trying to recover a little bit. So I sound a little bad. But I have a window of opportunity. I wanted to reach out to you, brother. I wanted you to know I read your message a couple of hours ago. And the most important thing that I can tell you is you are going to make it through this. It doesn't feel like it, but you are going to make it through this, brother. While I was listening to your message, I had this vision come to me of a testimony that will be written into your life by the grace of God to testify to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life over so much death. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting that God's going to bring your daughter back. I'm not saying that kind of resurrection. I'm talking about the kind of death that Paul says we who are alive face every single day as followers of Jesus Christ. We face his death daily in these bodies, that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. Resurrection life, seeing all the death that you're walking through, totally turned around by the incredible power and grace of Jesus Christ. Brother, you have an opportunity to be in this day an incredible testimony. And I saw it. I see you bearing witness to the power of Jesus Christ to other people. I just had this flash when I was looking at your testimony that if you will persevere and endure, and I have something else I'm going to tell you, but that you will in due time, if you do not give up, God is doing something very, very special in your life, just like he did in mine. And it involves a great deal of suffering. So if you will not give up, trust me, brother, you will see the glory of God. And you will know, Romans 8:18, in personal experience on this side of heaven, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us. Brother, I believe I recognize your name for a long time. You've been following the ministry for a good while. I've been seeing your name on there in the comments, I believe, if I've got the right Charles. You know about all the sufferings and the perplexities and the loss of children and the loss of two spouses and the loss of family members and the loss of dignity and the loss of hope and the loss of everything. You've seen how much I've gone through, and you've seen that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ continually sustains me, keeps me, and raises me up no matter what I've gone through. That same exact power is available to you, Charles. But sometimes God puts us in a prison and it looks like he throws away the key. Psalm 66:10-12. You refined us like silver, O God. You tested us. You brought us into prisons and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. You put us through the fire and through the water. But you brought us finally to a place of abundance. Romans 8:18, brother, right there in Psalm 66:10-12. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us. The God of all grace, who called you to his glory after you've suffered a little while, will himself make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In fact, I believe as I quote that, I believe I remember seeing a 5:10 in your email. He is going to restore you. He's got a special, if a particular kind of suffering has been set aside for you, it is because you have a particular kind of promise and a special eye is upon you from above, Charles. Now, here's what I want to tell you. The secret to getting through this, brother, is acquiescence and full submission and acceptance. Meekness. Meekness is the real preference for God's will be done over yours. You've been bought at a price. You have one of two choices. You can stand in the pride of your heart and in your own human reasoning, which is completely natural. Nobody in the natural realm will fault you for this. You won't find that very many people would look down upon you for feeling sorry for yourself in this situation that you find yourself in, all this suffering. I am very sorry about the suffering you've had to go through, including the loss of your daughter. I know that must be excruciating, brother. But you will never hear me feel sorry for you because I know your God. And I know if He has allowed it, it is because He is a God with a loving, good purpose. And there is no escaping that truth except through satanic unbelief, human impatience, and foul doubt. And the pride which says we know better than God. The pride which says, I know you claim I've been bought at a price with your precious blood, but you don't know what you're doing with my life. My life doesn't add up. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't look like what people who should love you the way I do should go through. Indeed, it's written all in the scriptures. The ones that God has used the most are the ones that have always suffered the most. The more you bleed, the more you can lead. And I just made that up right now. It's just true. It is absolutely true. The only reason that you're emailing me is because you know how much I've been through. You're not emailing me because I went through one bad thing and God rescued me. You're emailing me because at almost 49 years of life, I've had 7 years of peace. Brother, I'm with you. I've never lost a baby outside of me aborting them. You know the story of that happening. I lost two daughters because I aborted them. That's not the same as your loss. But once I became a Christian, I stand here today as a servant of the Lord. I have four children who have died. They're no longer my children. God stripped them away from me. Four. I know loss, but I also know resurrection. I know crucifixion, but I know that resurrection power on the other side of it. Brother, what you have to do is you have to get to a place where you completely submit to God. And you say, this is the cup the Lord has given me to drink. Shall I not drink it? This is the cup my Father has placed in my hands. John 18:11, shall I not drink it? That is the meekness of Jesus Christ to be obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Are you willing to be obedient unto death, even death in anxiety, death in whatever your hypochondriac type condition is, I guess you're describing, where you're afraid of your health all the time? Are you willing to be dead even to the fact that you have legitimate health issues? Or are you willing to be dead to the fact that you have a daughter who was stillborn? Are you willing to be death to that point? Because if you are, then God can use you. If not, you'll end up on the scrap pile. But here's how you get through this. You have to get to a place where you accept it and you quit fighting to try to have something that God's not giving you right now. And instead you accept it. God, I am yours. Do with me as you see fit. God, I accept that I have health problems. You have made my body. These are here for a reason. I accept it. And you trust God, Charles. He knows what He's doing. Your problems are different than mine, but they're all ordained of God. There is no secondary cause. If you're a Christian and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you, whatever happens to you is by the design of God. If you're thrown into a pit in spite of the fact that you've had a dream that says your family would bow down to you, but it's your family who throws you into the pit, that's God's doing, not Satan's. If you're falsely accused and then thrown into a dungeon, that's God's doing, not Satan's. And then when you're suddenly, overnight, exalted to the second highest hand in all the land, that's God's doing, not yours or Satan's, not your brother's. You trusted God if you will humble yourself. One time I was so devastated. This is early on, and this would have been something that was headed towards sealing the death of my children through parental alienation. It's been 8.5 years since I've seen them. And there was a Christmas break that was coming up. I was supposed to get them. I'll skip all the details of it. And I knew that God was telling me I was not going to be able to have the children. I ended up rolling on the floor in anguish. God, do it to me. Don't do it to them. God, do it to me. Don't do it to them, Lord. Don't punish them for me. And I tell you, I couldn't believe it. It's like the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, there are no vacations from the cross. I was just looking for a break. I was like, God, let me just have them this time. Let me just, you know, get them, Father. And it's like the Spirit just said to me, there are no vacations from the cross. I cried. Oh, man, the anguish. It's probably the greatest anguish I've ever experienced. I knew I was losing my children. Greatest fear I'd ever had in my life. They were like my little babies. Now they're dead to me. It's like they don't even exist anymore. I've mourned over them like you would have mourned over your daughter. 4 children gone. 8.5 years, not a word. They're gone. I've accepted that God took them away from me. No different than a Hagar and an Ishmael being sent off by God's will. But the reason why I'm able to have peace is because I finally gave in and I said, yes, sir, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. I don't understand it, but I accept it. Everything that happens to you and I happens from the Lord. The pain that you're experiencing will go in direct proportion to how much you see it coming from the Father. You have to accept that. You have to get to the point where you recognize no matter what happens, it's from the Lord. If He is allowing it, it is for your good and for your glory, and you may not always understand it. Matthew 7:11 says, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts when our children ask, how much more does the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? But sometimes His, quote, good gifts come in the most uncomfortable, thorny, wrapped packages. I praise God for all the suffering, all the difficulty, all the disgrace I have suffered for the sake of the name. It's enabled me to stand and testify to His grace of life over death in countless situations. Charles, you're going to be able to do the exact same thing. Listen, I want to just tell you a little analogy that's going to be coming up in a recording, God willing, in the next few months. I made it several months ago. And the Lord was giving me some wonderful insights about humility. So there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, who can make straight that which God has made crooked? Your life has a lot of crooked. The health issues, the health fears, the daughter, all the troubles that's come as a result of these things. This is called a crook in the lot. You may want to consider reading the book, The Crook in the Lot by Thomas Boston. It's a beautiful book. And while I was studying on it, God gave me this illustration. When God strikes us with troubling circumstances, He expects us to bring our spirit low. It is designed to humble us. Your natural response is always going to be to want to change the circumstance. So natural man is not willing to humble himself and bring his spirit low. That means not agitated, not beating like a bird with your chest against the cage. It means acquiescence, acceptance, not like the guy who struggled against the rock in his yard until the point he died. He tried everything he could. You remember it's in the streams in the desert and he's trying to dynamite it. Excuse me. He's trying to do all these things. The guy ends up dying to no success instead of acquiescing and accepting the rock and living with it, around it, or allowing it to work in his good like the new owner did, who turned it into what's called a rockery. This guy died trying to remove this boulder. He was obsessed. You will die trying to remove the boulder of afflictions out of your life. The only way to live is to die. The only way to find your life is to lose it. And Jesus is giving you a perfect opportunity through all these difficulties to lose your life at 27 years old. Charles, forgive me, brother. I probably won't be able to talk too much. It's going to start making me cough a lot. Let me get to the point. You have an opportunity to lower your spirit. It's not easy. Your nature wants to stand up and push against these circumstances. And instead of bringing your spirit low to the circumstances that have gone down, pride wants to try to bring the circumstances up. Put yourself with a picture in front of you, two glass elevators. You've seen them in movies before. You can see the elevators. Put two of them side by side. Put your spirit, who you are, on the left elevator. Put your life and circumstances on the right. When God hits the down arrow key on the circumstances in your life, be it health, be it finances, be it family, be it career, be it whatever. When he hits the down arrow key and brings those circumstances, he's striking it. Imagine a rope tied around the neck. You're in your soul spirit realm in that left elevator, and there's a rope tied around your neck from that elevator to the circumstance elevator. And as the elevator on the right begins to go down, thus the slack in the rope begins to slack and it begins to tighten around your neck. The natural man tries to resist the elevator of circumstances going down. He tries to stand up and push. No, no. And that's basically the pride of man, unwilling to bring his spirit low and to accept the down arrow, however far down God wants to bring it. What God is looking for you to do is to be in agreement with him that you are not your own, that God has the right to do, as he is sovereign, whatever he pleases in the heavens above, on the earth, and in the seas and all their depths. And he wants you to hit the down arrow key on your spirit. This is the secret to the Christian life, brother. This is an incredible secret. And I tell you that Lisa and I have seen this actually happen in some of the most applicable ways, where even little things that get you agitated. I have found myself, I'll sit down on the couch or on the trail. If I'm walking in prayer before the Lord, what I do is I'll slow my voice down. I'll slow my walk down. Or if I'm sitting, I'll even hunch my back a little bit and bring my head low. And it helps me to begin to bring my spirit low. And I give the Father his will be done, and I give him submission to that circumstance. Father, you have allowed this to happen for a reason. I humble myself before you, and I accept this, and I'm not going to rage against it. I'm not going to pull with that rope around my neck against these circumstances. I'm going to bring my spirit as low as you want me to go. Brother, this is one of the most important things you could ever know about your situation. God does this to see if you're willing to humble yourself. Listen, the natural man is a barrier to God's grace because it is prideful and it stands up. God pours his grace on the humble. The only way you can receive grace and the only way you can be seen as humble in God's eyes is to bring down the spirit. He's waiting for you to bring your spirit down. And you might say, brother, my spirit's already down. But no, you're not. You're fighting against it with fear and anxiety. That is not what it means to bring the spirit down. Bringing the spirit down means, God, you're doing this. I trust you. I'm going down with you. If you wanted these circumstances to be different, they would be different. They're not. So Lord, instead of me standing on this other elevator and refusing to hit that down arrow button, Lord, I'm going to hit the down arrow button. And you bring your spirit low and you just literally humble yourself, your whole self. You humble yourself, Charles, before the Lord. God, I don't like this. This is exceedingly painful. My nature wants to fight against this. I don't like these feelings in my body. I don't like these fears. I don't like these anxieties. I don't like the suffering. I don't like the loss. I don't like the death. But Lord, you know what you're doing. This is the cup the Father has put in my hands. Shall I not drink it? Lord, I'm going to drink it. And you lower your spirit. And tomorrow when you get up and your nature tries to rise again and fight against and kick against the goad, if you will, and kick against these circumstances, nope, you say, sorry, we're not doing that, nature. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. I'm going to bring myself low. Lord, I don't like how I'm feeling today. My body is hurting. I'm afraid of what's going to happen in my body. Lord, I give it all over to you. Lord, I am your servant. Do with me as you see fit. Charles, if you will do that, if you will humble yourself in the way I've just described before the Lord, in due time, he will lift you up into that testimony that I have a vision of you doing, where you are now ministering the resurrection life and power from your testimony to other people. And you will have been brought exceedingly low into all kinds of death situations, and you will be an absolute trophy of God's resurrection power and grace. And God will be able to put you, if you will, on display to show other people how they too can do what you've done and find hope in Jesus Christ. Brother, bring that spirit low. And in due time, God will lift you up. It will not likely be tomorrow. It may not be next week. It may not be next month. You watch, but I will tell you this. Here's the last part I want to tell you. Long before your circumstances are resurrected, your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit will be. You will feel a power from Jesus Christ come into you, your spirit, that will make you feel as if you have already been resurrected over the fears, the anxieties, really the circumstances that are causing those things. You will feel it. It's the same grace that enables us to go through death or to be martyred or to go through suffering and to do so with joy. There's a grace. That's a resurrection life. Crucifixion comes first and then resurrection. We do not want you to be lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised, Hebrews 6:12. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, Charles, bringing your spirit down low before God in total humility. And after you have done the will of God, which is what I've just shared with you, you will receive what is promised. Hebrews 6:15, and after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Our light and momentary afflictions are producing for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And do not be surprised at this painful trial you are going through, as though something strange were happening to you. Your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, is being proven genuine, that it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time, he will lift you up. Brother, right behind this, I'm going to send you a link to some of my favorite teachings on faith in God and trusting God through trials and suffering that I've compiled. And I want you to just focus on them and be encouraged and reinforce everything I'm telling you. Brother, the Lord will bless you. Father, help my brother Charles, God. In Jesus' name, I ask you to help him. Help him, Father God, to see what I'm telling you, telling him is the truth. Help him to know that he will experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ if he will be obedient and submissive unto death. Press upon him, Lord God, this lesson deep in his heart, and help him to see how exactly to do this before you, Lord. To even in the face of much fear and anxiety, to just say, that's it. I have a power in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in my circumstances. And I can bring my spirit down by his power. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And I can do his will, which is to humbly submit myself before him. And Father, I know and trust that as he does that, Lord, you are going to show yourself strong on his behalf. You're going to encourage his heart and let him know that he has been heard, that you love him and you care for him, that you do have a plan in all of this. But he has a role to play. He has to respond back to the difficulties and the sort of affliction in his life through humility. God bless him to be a beacon of your glory in the dark times ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Charles, God bless you abundantly. May the peace and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be yours in abundance.
Michael commentary and 2025 update. When I came across this recording made in 2022 to Charles, I really got emotional at one moment hearing me speak the life of Jesus Christ so authoritatively by the Holy Spirit of Jesus into Charles' condition and into his life at that time, knowing what the outcome was going to be years later, now in 2025. Not knowing then, but knowing now, but being led of the Lord by faith to make a proclamation of life over death in his life. I recently put a message out while Lisa and I were in Tahoe about resurrection life over spiritual death. And I hope if any of you are going through what you see and know to be spiritual death in your life now, that you will again, by faith, believe in the God who is greater in you than the one who is in the world. That you will again believe by faith that if God be for you, who can be against you? That you will again believe by faith that you should not throw away your confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. That you must persevere for a little while, and after you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. This is one of those stories. This is a story of tremendous suffering, tremendous dysfunction, tremendous brokenness, tremendous darkness, which eventually, through a long time of persevering, turns into light. Now, Charles's story is much, much longer than just the season that he was sharing with me in 2022. Over the years, Charles was very active in my ministry through the comment section and emails, and he kept in contact with me for a long time. Recently, before I even came across today's episode, I had come across in my inbox while searching for someone else's email, his original email to me all the way back on March 23rd of 2017. And when I came across it, I couldn't help but to forward it to him again and ask him how it felt to reflect back on all that God had saved him out of. So I'm going to read his original email to me in 2017 when he was 22 years old to help you see just how much darkness some of our brothers and sisters in Christ grow up out of, and to see the power of Jesus Christ to reach down from on high and take hold of someone out of the pit and pull them out and set them on high ground. This is one of those stories. Praise be to the Holy Father in heaven, who does exactly what he says in our life. If we will humbly confess before him, we do not have the power to save ourselves. Keep the faith, knowing that he does have the power, and waiting patiently until he does. Here's his original email, and then I'm going to share his reply all these years later, now 8 years later after his original email to me. March 23rd, 2017, form submission, mental illness, constant panic, anxiety attacks for no reason, and I've never had a mental illness run in my family or anything of the sort. Message, Well, Mike, I hope you're in for a bit of a story, for our stories are quite similar. But my only thing is, I'm only 22, and who knows if you'll ever read this because of the constant messaging you get. But here it goes. My name is Charles, and about 3 months ago, I got diagnosed with PTSD. No mental illness of any kind run in my family. Absolutely none. But somehow, I was the only one to get it. I often wondered why, out of all the people in my family, was I to get this. Growing up, I was always neglected from my dad. I know you never really had a father figure growing up to teach you the ways, but believe me, it's a lot better than him being across the table telling you how much of a screw-up you are on a daily basis. My dad glorified my oldest brothers all the time, and my whole life, from the age of 5, I felt that I had to prove myself. All the time, anywhere from sports to video games to grades, you name it. I grew up in so-and-so, California, in the ghetto, hearing gunshots and people arguing and fights all over the place. And so we escaped to another city in California by the time I was in the fourth grade. At around the age of 10 is when I started smoking cigarettes. By the time I got to the seventh grade, I started smoking marijuana and drinking. And it was at that time that my parents would fight and argue all the time. And I was left alone to deal with them because both my older brothers were always gone. And I was always left to defend my mom and take it from my dad's drinking abuse. And at the age of 14, I experienced my first anxiety attack because of all the dope and drinking I was doing at the same time. And I ended up in the hospital. A couple of days later, I was fine. And then along came high school, where things got really tough. I started chasing after girls and basically became Mr. Popular Kid in school, with being in varsity football and varsity soccer all 3 years of high school, excluding my freshman year. And it was in high school where I learned that in order to be great, you have to be willing to work your butt off for it, and that you can't rely on anyone, not even family. So I pushed myself to be the very best in everything I did and never gave up. Growing up, people knew me as the kid, the guy who would never give up on anything if there was some type of benefit from it. I was so strong. I was so fearless. And like I said, I was Mr. Popular Kid in school, always at the parties, backyard shows, getting drunk and high all the time. But when senior year came around, something changed within me, like something unexplainable. I decided to ignore it and focus on other things, but as soon as I was graduating high school, the same feeling came again, telling me there's more to life than this, that there's more to life than what I'm doing with it now. One day, coming back home from a party all drunk was the first time I ever cried and felt that tug on me again, telling me there's more to life than this. I was never raised to believe in God or anything. I knew He existed, and I knew He performed miracles for other people, but I just always knew that I was too much of a screw-up for God to want to give me a miracle. But that very day, I said, God, if you really exist, give me something better than this. I want something better than the life I'm living right now. I don't want to live this partying, drinking, drug life. And then the instant I said this, I got a text from my friend. He asked me if I would join his team for a dodgeball tournament at his church. Skeptical at first, but decided, hey, I did ask for something new in my life. Why not? The moment I get into the church, all my focus was on the tournament, and that's it. The church has a small, tiny service and a little bit of worship going on. I was in the back making fun of the people that were getting into it, raising their hands and whatnot. So after this dodgeball tournament, the following week, the same friend invited me back to the youth service. At first, I was skeptical again, but told him, okay, but I'm only going to go for the free food. And as the weeks go by, I make up excuse after excuse. I'm only going because there's hot girls there. I'm only going for the music, etc. To me, it wouldn't make a difference because I would go drinking and smoking after every service. But one night, there was a service of how much you mean to God and how much worth you are to Him. Now, as you read earlier, I was always going off on my own self-worth because I didn't get it from anywhere else. And that service spoke to me so much that after the service, while at my friend's house, I noticed that I was holding a drink in my hand. And this overwhelming tug in my stomach just overcame me. And I knew then that this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I put the drink down and left my friend's house. After that, I never went to their house or even hung out with them ever again. I stopped drinking and I stopped smoking from that point on. And at this time around, I was so into God, and just like you, I became a Christian and know of God a lot more, but I didn't really know Him. So after 2 years of this, I became a worship leader and loved it because I was always into music. But after my high school breakup with a girl, I started to slowly fade away again and didn't go back to drinking or anything, but just heartbroken because she cheated on me. And then in 2014, I got a job working at McDonald's. So while going to school and performing at school in front of thousands of people working full-time and leading worship, my life got kind of hectic. And around this time, I met a girl that I worked with at McDonald's. We instantly fell for each other, and suddenly she became my world. I left church, I left music, pretty much left it all just for her. I feel like God warned me about what would happen if me and her started dating and what would happen, but like all things, I ignored it. I was with this girl for a year, and within that year, I started drinking again. And then on our 1 year anniversary, she left me for someone else. She left me without telling me and started this whole other relationship with someone else. I felt lost. My friends at the time were trying to encourage me. But in the end, at a party, my best friend ended up hooking up with her. I felt shattered that I would get betrayed like that. The very next day, I quit my job at McDonald's. It was November 2015. 2 weeks after leaving my job at McDonald's, I found another job at 24 Hour Fitness as a salesperson. I was barely 21 at the time, so as time goes by, I made drinking and smoking a thing again, getting worse and worse because now I had a new place of work with new coworkers that I could party with. And at this time, I experimented with cocaine. I only did it once, but nonetheless, it was still bad. I kept drinking on a daily basis and partied all the time. But as that was going on, I was so stressed from work, for as you of all people should know, the stress of a sales job, the more stressed I got, the more I drank, and this time I kept getting worse and worse with my depression and holding back my emotions, because in the sales job, you have to be happy all the time and outgoing. So I completely became someone I didn't know. And through this time, I felt that same tug again, but this time I knew it was God. He was calling back, saying the same thing He told me years ago. There's more to life than this. And I continued to ignore it. And I felt that I was being torn in two because of the constant back and forth, that I just completely buried these feelings. Until one day, at age 22, on September 1st, I experienced yet again another panic anxiety attack. And it was something that I thought I was going to get over like I did before, but no. It stayed with me this time around. I gave it a month before going to the doctors and telling them what happened. Soon after, I got referred to a therapist, and all because I progressively got worse. I had to drop out of school. I got promoted on my job and thought that by going to a different location, it would make me forget about everything that happened. But no. It didn't. It got worse there too, to the point where I got sent to the hospital on multiple occasions because of panic and anxiety. And as of November 2016, I lost my career. And I feel I lost myself, progressively losing more and more. I kept digging back into God. But slowly I went from a guy that would be going to places all the time and traveling, to a person who could barely get up and leave his room to use the restroom. Obviously, they gave me medication to see what was wrong, so I tried Zoloft for about 3 months, and it only made everything worse. And as soon as I stopped taking that, the following week, I lost my best friend. He died, and it took the biggest toll on my life. And then another week goes by where I lost my aunt to cancer, which again took a toll on me. I developed a type of agoraphobia and haven't been able to leave the house for about 2 months. But on February 17th of 2017, I got the wonderful chance of stumbling upon your videos and decided to take on the John 7:17 challenge. I'm on day 42 now and have been reading and praying on a daily basis. I completely surrendered to God. I said to God, I give you all that I am and all that I own. I am yours, God Almighty. I give it all to you. And slowly, I've been reading him more and more and praying more and more. But the more I read, the more worried I get because I feel like God isn't hearing me and I'm starting to lose faith. I never want to go back to my life of the past. Never again. And I know God knows this. I've seen all your videos and they have been on repeat all the time. I need something personal. I need a clear direction and just overall guidance from him because all I hear at home is you should be medicated or you need to be hospitalized or you can't just trust God all the time. You got to work for it. I'm just tired of all this negativity and everyone bringing me down when all I want to do is live for God. I pray that you can get back to me and so that we can talk about this because I have no one. I forwarded that email from 2017 to Charles on February 4th of this year, and this is Brother Charles' reply to me. Hey, Brother Michael, indeed, I remember this. Wow, it seems like forever ago when I wrote this. So much has changed since then. I have gone through many trials, including a loss of a marriage, loss of a child, but I have indeed kept my faith. I grew so much. I stand here today as a servant of the Lord, knowing what it means to live a life of surrender, even while living with the after effects of so much suffering. I have always told other people this, but my life completely changed when I came across your videos. You taught me what it truly means to be a man of God. I am still waiting on the healing the Lord has promised me. Until then, I will wait and prepare myself to teach and preach about the resurrected life in Jesus Christ. God bless you, Brother Michael. It is because of your obedience to the Lord that he was able to shape me into the man that I am today. And I just say thank you, Jesus Christ, for this testimony.